Welcome back, everyone. 9:06 is your time. That's right, hour number two of the KMOX At Your Service show. Greg Damon hanging out with you all the way till 10 o'clock. I have the lovely and talented Maria Kina has graciously kept with us here or stayed here with us a few minutes. And you mentioned Groundhog's Day. Or do you believe in that? Is that superstition?
Well, I think it has to do with the sun. So I don't think it's really legit. I think, you know, if he sees the sun has to be out, right, in order for him to see
sure, absolutely.
So I like the thought of it, though. I think it's cute and kind of mystical, and I'm good with it.
No, I understand. It's like, I don't know. I don't even, when I was a kid, it seemed like I paid attention to it. Now it's like,
it was a big deal when we were kids.
You know, and then it looks like the groundhog always wants to bite the guy anyway. So
I know. The groundhog is like, leave me alone. I was sleeping. What time of the day is it? Let me out of here.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Thanks, Maria.
Right.
I appreciate it.
See ya.
The lovely and talented Maria Kina. She works hard here at KMOX. Well, folks, as I said, welcome back to hour number two. We're going to do probably one of the things that I love to do most, and that is talk a little football. I brought some of my good friends, some of my great guests that we always have here on the program. We have Coach Jason Berniak. He's the head football coach over at Missouri Baptist University, and probably the most handsome, smartest head coach I've ever known in my life. He's the head coach of MICDS. Coach Fred Bouchard joins us on the program. Gentlemen, thanks for hanging out with us tonight here on At Your Service.
Absolutely. It's good to be with you, Greg.
Great to be here. You read that just as I asked you to. That was perfect. Handsome and smart, two things that I've never been called in my life. So thank you, Greg. That it validates me today.
That's right. Well, it's all about that. Well, guys, I want to thank you so much for coming on because, you know, I've known you guys for a long time. I love talking football. And, you know, for me, it's always been that a good friend of mine told me that, you know, when football starts, it's the day after it ends. So it always seems like you're planning for the next season. We'll start with Coach B, Coach Jason. Let's talk a little about this past season at Missouri Baptist University.
Yeah, well, you know, it was a tough season for us in some ways. You know, we got a lot better, but you know, it was frustrating that we couldn't get over the hump. We had four games that we lost by one score, one of them in overtime. So, you know, had a lot of good opportunities. I think the guys made a lot of strides. We had some senior leadership. We ended up actually in a new league in the Heart of America Conference this year, and we had the most all-conference guys we've ever had in our program history. So there was a lot to be excited about. You know, our record wasn't quite what we had hoped it would be, but gives us a little bit of momentum. We won our last game, which is always good, and won that pretty decisively over Central Methodist, and it gives us some momentum going into recruiting, going into the off season, and we get a lot of guys back, and so we're really excited about the direction we're headed, and we're less than a week away now, just inside a week from National Signing Day, and excited about the class that we've got committed, and looking forward to a few more guys here in the last couple days.
Yeah, it's tough when you join a new conference, and obviously new teams. It's harder to scout new teams because they haven't been around. So, I mean, you really have to, step up to the task.
Yeah, I think that definitely plays a role in it. You know, when you're in a league and you're familiar with kind of the coaches, their style, you know, what that program's all about, I think it gives you a little bit going into the week. And obviously this year was brand new, but you know, it's also a fun challenge. You know, we're always going to do the scouting, you know, whether it's high school, college, that really doesn't matter. You're always going to do the film breakdown and stuff, but, it gives you a new challenge, just trying to figure out what are coaches like, what are teams like, and it was a fun challenge, and we look forward to being in year two in the Heart of America next year.
Coach Bouchard, let's talk a little about the season at MICDS.
Hey, anyway, thanks for having me on, Greg. This is always exciting to talk football here. I'm a pretty big Chiefs fan. My wife and our season ticket holders, from having been over in the Kansas City area, so we're excited about what last week was and what here in a couple weeks when the Chiefs get a line up for their fourth Super Bowl in 5 years. So life at MICDS is pretty good, and we finished the year 9-3 for the third time in my 4 years here. We ended up losing to the undefeated state champions, and that's who knocked us out in the playoffs. In this case, it was Cardinal Ritter, and so it feels like that's kind of a target kind of on you that you gotta get over that final last hump and beat that kind of team. But Cardinal Ritter was an excellent football team, and then they ran the table from then on. And we've got work to do this offseason to try to get better. And we're excited because we feel like we have 18 kids who had some starting time that started for us at some position last year that are returning. And we got a good group of young kids that really did a great job on our JV level that we think will just add depth, and they'll be more varsity ready a year from now. So we're different. And Jason, he gets to go out and kind of recruit and find his recruiting class. You know, ours is the kids that are kind of landed at our school and are coming up from the eighth grade, and so it's a little bit different look. But in much the same way, we're us coaches are pretty eternal optimists, and we think next year is going to be awesome.
Yeah, you know, playing Cardinal Ritter, I mean, talk about an exciting game, because there in the first half, MICDS took the lead, and Cardinal Ritter didn't know what to do, really.
Yeah, you know what? Even midway through the third, we go down and we kick the field goal, and so about midway through the third, it's a 17-22 game. But they just have some real explosive players, and even in the fourth quarter, it's a 2-touchdown game. We're lining up for an onside kick, and then things kind of they're real explosive, and the last stretch of that game, you got a kind of glimpse of seeing just how explosive they can be. So my hat's off Coach Bain. They did a great job, and they'll be back in the mix. It all kind of depends on, do we get assigned to their district, or is that the kind of if that's what happened, then that's what's in front of us. And we're doing hopefully the work we're doing kind of in the weight room now and making the progress now that will hopefully make a difference the next time we have to line up against that folks. In the meantime, though, we opened with Hillsboro, who played in the Class 4 state championship game. And week two, we played Smet, which is a Class 6 semifinalist and an excellent football team. So we're challenging ourselves early and feel like it's hopefully it'll be get us battle tested for those games down the road, and make us more prepared for that moment when we are playing against the elite teams in Class 5.
Sounds great. I tell you what, fellas, I got to do a little business. Hang with me, would you please?
Yep.
All right, fantastic.
Absolutely.
Folks, we are visiting with Coach Fred Bouchard from MICDS and also Coach Jason Berniak from Missouri Baptist University. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to talk more football coming up. Stick around. You're listening to KMOX at your service. Welcome back, everyone. 9:19 is your time right here in the heart of America. Of course, you're listening to KMOX. This is At Your Service. Greg Damon sitting in the big chair tonight, and we're talking a little football. That's right, something I love to do. I got some great experts on the phone with us. Coach Jason Berniak, he's the head football coach at Missouri Baptist University, and also Coach Fred Bouchard, who's the head football coach over at MICDS. Again, gentlemen, thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight here on At Your Service.
It's always fun, Greg. Appreciate you having us on.
So, Coach Jason, let's talk with you first a little bit about what do you guys do? You said National Signing Day coming up. What do you guys do to start get ready for practice? So, I mean, are you guys in the weight room, or how? What does your off season look like?
Yeah, so our school, we get back a week earlier than most of the colleges around. We start the week before, really the second week in January, whereas a lot of the colleges don't start till after Martin Luther King Day. So we've been in the weight room now for 3 weeks, going on 3 weeks, and yeah, we're in there in the morning. We have conditioning on the field at 6 a.m. Guys are out there. They're putting in the work. You know, one of the things that we really try to emphasize here in the off season is a lot of competition and a lot of teamwork and team unity. So there's a lot of bonding and camaraderie that's built when you're, you know, up early in the morning and putting in work when nobody else is up. And we've had great attendance. Guys are putting in a lot of work. And then, of course, in the weight room, you know, this is when a lot of gains have to be made here in the winter months, moving into spring ball and then the summer. So, you know, I always like to say, you know, you're stockpiling everything you can to get bigger, faster, and stronger during the off season, because as soon as season hits, when we get into August and stuff like that, you're just trying to hold on and maintain. So, you know, we're a little different than high school, where they get the summer months. You know, we get 15 practices in the spring outside of the conditioning. So we got to take advantage of those times. We'll start spring football in March, go through early April, and that's a great opportunity for our young guys to really show us, you know, how they've developed and some of the guys that are competing for jobs of, you know, what strides have they made so that we can count on them. Because when we get into August, we're really kind of starting to get a really good glimpse on our freshmen, see what they can do and what guys can help us. So it's a really important time for our returners.
Well, you know, you talked about conditioning and stuff like that. This is also the proving ground to make sure that, hey, you know, my endurance is up and I'm going to be halfway fresh in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, like I said, a lot of that is being just kind of, well, like I talked to the guys, you're putting an investment in the bank every day, you know, and we're going to withdraw that investment in August through November. But every day they've got to be putting something in the bank, stocking that thing up and really investing in themselves, like you said. So if it comes down to the fourth quarter, we're ready to go. And ultimately, you know, same thing with spring ball. You know, if they're not in shape and ready to go, it's hard to prove yourself on the field. If your conditioning isn't right, it really doesn't matter how good of a football player you are or basketball player you are. You know, your conditioning is going to show your weakness and, you know, really start to show up.
Absolutely. Coach Bouchard, what about off-season training for high school?
You know, it's a little different model because although we're in our off-season and we gather our guys a couple times a week, we also, you know, we have about a third of our players are playing lacrosse. And so they're in their preseason mode as their season's getting ready to kick off here later this month. A third that are in baseball who are thinking the exact same thing, they're getting their guys together and they're training and working together. And another third that's in track and field. And so, you know, we want to certainly respect the fact that we encourage our kids to be multiple sport athletes. And then we got another faction of kids that are actually participating in basketball and wrestling. We've got about a dozen kids that fall into that category right now. So, you know, we've turned them over to other coaches. They're working their tail off. They're competing. They're getting better at their sport. I think it's excellent training for our young people. And they're still lifting and still doing some of that work. I mean, that's an expectation of those programs. But it's just a little bit different than what Coach Berniak's dealing with there when he kind of has his captured group that he's training most of the, you know, this off season is kind of dedicated to them. We know that our guys are going to go out and train with other coaches, but we think there's real value in our guys running, you know, running track, playing lacrosse, playing baseball, because those are outstanding coaches that are pouring the same kind of good stuff that we hope we're able to do in the fall with football.
Well, I want to ask you about, you know, my favorite faction. I want to ask you about the cult. You know, I'm talking about the Absolutely. Linemen, the big dogs out there, you know, working hard. You know, as they're kind of like the unsung heroes, but, you know, the play doesn't start without them.
Yeah, there that's the name. So we have our, you know, the way our locker room shaped up is we have this extra locker room where we have like 25 lockers, and we've just designated that the linemen, and so we call it the cult over there. and they refer to themselves as the brotherhood, but anyway, they always try to get like our running backs are like, hey, we need to work on some pass pro and how we're going to domino, how we're going to pick up the blitz. And I tell our running backs, you can go over and hang out with the Colt. You just can't join them all together. So anyway, it's a great culture. Nick Menicky is our offensive line coach, and Nick has been at MICDS, I think, going on 18 years. And he just does an outstanding job building synergy in that group. And just the esprit de corps. You know, what other sport has I think it's really unique among offensive linemen especially, where they're 100% in service to others. Like, they are their whole thing. They rarely ever get a score or touchdown, and they are just serving others. They're blocking and trying to create opportunities for others. And there's really not a lot of things in sport that's 100% of what they do. So you've got to admire the group of people. And in our program, the guys in the Colt eat first. Like, we're like, you guys serve everywhere else. You get to be the first ones to the buffet line or wherever we're lining up. So we try to honor them in those kind of ways.
How about Coach B? What about your big dogs?
Man, they're the lifeblood, you know, and that's something that we're always trying to recruit offensive linemen. People every year, you know, when you go into high school, hey, coach, what are you looking for? O-line, D-line, those guys are always somebody that we're looking for, because like you said, the play doesn't start, you know, on both sides of the ball. If you can't control the line of scrimmage, whether it's offensively or defensively, it's going to be a long day for you. But, you know, I love what Coach is talking about. You know, I think when we go on the road, we really don't have a rule about letting the big dogs eat first, but they kind of throw everybody else out of the way to make sure that it happens. So, and not many of us are going to stop those big boys. So I know I certainly am not. But, as you go and get into coaching, you know, it seems cliche to talk about how important they are, but I mean, they are so critical, and I love what Coach is talking about, that they're just, especially the offensive line, just in that service mode all the time. That's such a great point that, you know, it is hard for us to find that and why they're so important. But, they do a great job, and we are really excited about some of the linemen that we've got committed coming in and some of the guys coming back. So that, I think that's going to help our program a lot.
Well, it sure seems that the linemen, whether they play offense or they play defensive line, seems like these guys getting bigger, stronger, more muscular every year.
Yeah, it's incredible watching, you know, what some of these defensive linemen do and offensive linemen, how big they are and how athletic they are. You know, we had a nose tackle this year, Anthony Graham, who ended up being second team all conference, and Anthony was about 6'1", weighed 370, but wow, when you watch him move, he was extremely light on his feet, moved pretty well for a guy that size, and you know, extremely strong. But yeah, like you said, it's just amazing how but you know, a lot of it goes to the training that they do. You know, I know your son Daniel puts in a lot of work and trains, and you know, they've been training in this for so long that they are really athletes, you know, whereas before they were just bulldozers. Now, you know, if you're not a big kid that's an athlete, it's gonna be hard to see the field at any level.
No doubt about it. And they eat a lot as well.
Yeah, no question.
They can't run you out of the house and home, can't they?
Yes.
And, you know, you make a great point just about the athleticism for a person that size. And we're fortunate that, you know, one of our players, Luke Algar, is a 2025 guy, and we just had a stream of traffic. He's 6'6", about 270 pounds, and moves really well. He's standing broad jumps close to 10 feet. His vertical's like 33, and he's just a pretty remarkably talented. A coach came in the other day, and a coach from a Big Ten school, O-line, and he's like, Coach, what's up with your guy? And I'm like, well, frankly, I don't know why you guys haven't been in here sooner. Like, I'm not seeing any downside to this. Like, he's not too heavy. You know, sometimes when you get in the mid threes, especially when you're a high school kid, the big schools start to think, ah, that may be a little bit big. It may be hard to get up. And if you're too light, if you're 235, you're not quite heavy enough. But it's kind of funny how you got to thread the needle. But it's allowed a bunch of schools we're in today. A coach from the Southeast, and I think I can say it because it's out on Twitter, but, you know, the University of Miami came in last week, and, you know, they have an NFL Hall of Fame defensive line coach, and Jason Taylor, who played for the Dolphins there, and he came in and was like, you know, we have two people we're targeting here in the city that we feel like they are better than what we can find in our corridor of Florida, which there's a lot of football in Florida. I just think that's kind of exciting for our kids when they get those kind of opportunities. And then in our current recruiting class, we have a young man who's an awesome player who's going to the University of Chicago, and another young man, and that's Davis Shukar, and then Carter Enyard going to Michigan State. So we've been blessed with some great kids, and it's great to see them be able to take their take what they've had in high school and their abilities and go off and show it off on a college field.
Yeah, absolutely. And it shows that, as Coach B was talking about, you put in that hard work, that dedication, you never know where it's going to take you.
No, you're exactly right. And what an opportunity for those guys, you know. And I think what's great that Coach is hitting on is, you know, anytime you get coaches walking through the door, whatever level it is, whether you're talking Miami or Michigan State, the big ones, you know, if somebody from Missouri Baptist comes in, you know, a lot of time those coaches are going to, you know, get eyes on somebody else as well, you know, and it's not uncommon for them to walk down the hall and bump into somebody, hey, Coach, who's that? And he's another underclass guy that, boom, all of a sudden he's on their radar. So, you know, anytime you get coaches in the building, it's a good thing. It's a good thing for the school. It's a good thing for the program. And, it just gets kids excited about the possibility and why they should put in the work.
Absolutely correct. Fellas, I got to take a quick break here. Hang with me some more, please.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, fantastic. We are talking with Coach Fred Bouchard from MICDS, also Coach Jason Berniak from Missouri Baptist University. Talking a little football here on KMOX's At Your Service. Stick around, more to come. Back at it we go here on the KMOX is At Your Service on a beautiful Thursday night, kind of warm. Hey, it's nice to see the sun out, too, here the past couple days as it's been kind of gloomy. This is KMOX is At Your Service. My name's Greg Damon, and we're talking a little football here on the program. I brought in a couple experts with us. I call these guys experts because they sure have a ton of knowledge. And Coach Fred Bouchard, he's the head football coach over at MICDS, and Coach Jason Berniak, he's the head football coach at Missouri Baptist University. Gentlemen, again, thanks for hanging with us here on At Your Service.
Oh, it's good to be with you, Greg. Thanks for having us on. It's always fun.
So I got a couple. Questions that have been texted in, and we'll start. I'll start this one with Coach B. excuse me. He said because the coaches mentioned the Kansas City versus San Francisco, do they anticipate that we'll see any trick plays or will it be kind of vanilla on offense?
Who are you asking?
I'm going to ask you first.
Which Coach B?
Oh, that's right. I guess I didn't even think of that. Coach Jason, we'll start with you.
No, I think that you're going to see some trick plays. You know, I've known Kyle Shanahan going back to when I was in college, and he'd come up and work out with us, and, he's done a great job. So Andy Reid's one of the best of all time. So I think you're going to see some gadget plays and some formation wrinkles and those kind of things, definitely.
How about Coach Bouchard? What do you think?
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, I don't think they go into that game without having a couple things that we'll see in the first quarter and I think in the second quarter. I mean, I think that's a standard part of somebody's going to try to strike and take advantage of something. And now it's the base stuff that ends up carrying the day. But I think both those teams are capable and both those play callers are capable of dialing up some pretty cool stuff. And I'd just be highly surprised if we didn't see some of that, and especially, I really think in the first quarter.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I think that's definitely going to happen. Both teams have certainly watched a lot of film on each other, and they've got to implement something. Coach Bouchard, Coach Berniak, I want to ask you real quick. You're a Colorado guy. What do you think of Deion Sanders? Has he lost some of his luster? You know, before the start of the season, obviously the first game started out bang. And one big, and all of a sudden it seemed like the season kind of took a slide after that. Has he maybe rubbed people the wrong way? What's your thoughts?
I don't get that sense. I think that the people in Colorado understand that it's a building thing. You know, I think a lot of Buff fans are excited that Colorado football is relevant again. I know as an alum, you know, that's something that me and some of my former teammates have talked about, is just that people talk positively about Colorado football, that we're relevant, we're getting some talent that we haven't had in a long, long time. So, he's going about it in a different way. Obviously, starting 3-0 and really climbing the ladder, and then only finishing with one win beyond that. But they had to get the offensive line. You know, we talked about the offensive line. Their offensive line was not good. You know, I know they've made some coaching changes, but you know, I think there's a lot of optimism out there. They signed the number one offensive lineman in the country. They got a bunch of transfers. You know, he's a guy who's hit the transfer portal hard. So it'll just remain to be seen if that is kind of the answer. And you know, he's got to get Shadur a little bit more time, but I think there's still optimism. But there's some coaches that have to be replaced. You know, he did lose some coaches: his defensive coordinator, offensive line coach. We'll see. But I think this will be an important year for him in regards to moving it forward. I was reading something today or yesterday that says that he feels like he's arrived now, that like he's got the pieces that he needs. So we'll have to see.
Coach Bouchard?
Oh, I love what he's doing there. I just think what Coach Berniak said about just making it relevant, making Colorado part of the conversation. I grew up in Colorado also, and kind of was there during the early Bill McCartney years, and a pretty big Buff fan during that stretch of time. They were easy to cheer, and I think he's reinvigorated that community, that city, that state. That was a really, really bad football team 2 years ago. I mean, they won one overtime game, you know, to finish 1-11. And beat
Cal,
beat them in overtime to be 1-11, and their losses were bad losses. They were being drummed, and all of a sudden, you know, he would love to have the Stanford game back. I watched that and I saw them give up that lead, and you know, but they played Arizona a great game. They just competed pretty well against a good chunk of their schedule, and I don't think they're very far away. So I'm. You know, the other thing is, and I have a sister who works there in Boulder, and she works as a concierge. I think I might have said this in the last time we talked, in at St. Julian in Boulder, and the economic impact of what that program has done, and it really comes back to Deion Sanders, has been enormous for that community. Like I think there's some the underlines there are really, really powerful that lean towards him. So if I'm, you know, in Colorado, if I'm in Boulder, if I'm in that area, I'm excited about what he has brought to the table. And I know it's unconventional, but there, you know what? It's the rules that he gets to play with, and he's using them to the best of his ability. I sit back from a distance with admiration for what Deion Sanders does.
All right,
no doubt, and I think Greg, if the $20 or $25 million that was pumped into the economy, they'll take four wins every year if that's what they get.
Right, exactly. But you know that also breeds, you know, money coming into the economy and everything else breeds more people to want to come there and brings more money into the program.
Well, and you know, Coach just hit on something that's huge, just the economic impact, but also, you know, the number of just regular students that want to go to the University of Colorado now, you know, that helps the school.
Sure.
And you talk about, you know, I honestly think, you know, Tad Boyle, and not to go down a basketball road, but, you know, Tad Boyle with the basketball team has done extremely well, but he was able to sign one of the one of the only five-star picks going back to when I played back in the early 2000s. They signed a five-star, David Harrison, but they've got a guy that's a five-star. He's like the second or third pick, and don't think that Deion didn't have something to do with that, you know, he puts Colorado on the map, and now all of a sudden that gives Tad and some of these other coaches the ability to go recruit some better athletes too.
Sure, absolutely, absolutely. Well, let's change gears here a little bit. Let's talk, you know, the big upcoming game that is going to happen here in a couple weeks. Back at it we go here on the KMOX. Is at your service on a beautiful Thursday night, kind of warm. Hey, it's nice to see the sun out, too, here the past couple days as it's been kind of gloomy. This is KMOX. Is at your service. My name's Greg Damon, and we're talking a little football here on the program. I brought in a couple experts with us. I call these guys experts because they sure have a ton of knowledge. And Coach Fred Bouchard, he's the head football coach over at MICDS, and Coach Jason Berniak, he's the head football coach at Missouri Baptist University. Gentlemen, again, thanks for hanging with us here on At Your Service.
Oh, it's good to be with you, Greg. Thanks for having us on. It's always fun.
So I got a couple. Questions that have been texted in, and we'll start. I'll start this one with Coach B. excuse me. He said because the coaches mentioned the Kansas City versus San Francisco, do they anticipate that we'll see any trick plays, or will it be kind of vanilla on offense?
Who are you asking?
I'm going to ask you first.
Which Coach B?
Oh, that's right. I guess I didn't even think of that. Coach Jason, we'll start with you.
No, I think that you're going to see some trick plays. You know, I've known Kyle Shanahan going back to when I was in college, and he'd come up and work out with us, and, you know, he's done a great job. So Andy Reid's one of the best of all time. So I think you're going to see some gadget plays and some formation wrinkles and those kind of things, definitely.
How about Coach Bouchard? What do you think?
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, I don't think they go into that game without having a couple things that we'll see in the first quarter and I think in the second quarter. I mean, I think that's a standard part of somebody's going to try to strike and take advantage of something. And now it's the base stuff that ends up carrying the day. But I think both those teams are capable and both those play callers are capable of dialing up some pretty cool stuff. And I'd just be highly surprised if we didn't see some of that in especially, I mean, I really think in the first quarter.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I think that's definitely going to happen. Both teams have certainly watched a lot of film on each other, and they've got to implement something. Coach Bouchard, Coach Berniak, I want to ask you real quick. You're a Colorado guy. What do you think of Deion Sanders? Has he lost some of his luster? You know, before the start of the season, obviously the first game started out bang and won big, and all of a sudden it seemed like the season kind of took a slide after that. Has he maybe rubbed people the wrong way? What's your thoughts?
I don't get that sense. I think that, you know, the people in Colorado understand that it's a building thing. You know, I think a lot of Buff fans are excited that Colorado football is relevant again. I know as an alum, you know, that's something that me and some of my former teammates have talked about, is just that people talk positively about Colorado football, that we're relevant, we're getting some talent that we haven't had in a long, long time. So, you know, he's going about it in a different way. Obviously, starting 3-0 and really climbing the ladder, and then only finishing with one win beyond that. But they had to get the offensive line. You know, we talked about the offensive line. Their offensive line was not good. You know, I know they've made some coaching changes, but you know, I think there's a lot of optimism out there. They signed the number one offensive lineman in the country. They got a bunch of transfers. You know, he's a guy who's hit the transfer portal hard, so it'll just remain to be seen if that is kind of the answer. And you know, he's got to get Shadur a little bit more time, but I think there's still optimism. You know, but there's some coaches that have to be replaced. You know, he did lose some coaches: his defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, offensive line coach. So, you know, we'll see. But I think this will be an important year for him in regards to, you know, moving it forward. I was reading something today or yesterday that says that he feels like he's arrived now, that like he's got the pieces that he needs. So we'll have to see.
Coach Bouchard?
Oh, I love what he's doing there. I just think what Coach Berdyk said about just making it relevant, making Colorado part of the conversation. I grew up in Colorado also, and you know, kind of was there during the early Bill McCartney years, and a pretty big Buff fan during that stretch of time. They were easy to cheer, and I think, you know, he's reinvigorated that community, that city, that state. That was a really, really bad football team 2 years ago. I mean, they won one overtime game, you know, to finish 1-11, and beat
Cal.
Beat them in overtime to be 1-11, and their losses were bad losses. They were being drummed, and all of a sudden, you know, he would love to have a Stanford game back. I watched that and I saw them give up that lead, and you know, but they played Arizona a great game. They just competed pretty well against a good chunk of their schedule, and I don't think they're very far away. So the other thing is, and I have a sister who works there in Boulder, and she works as a concierge. I think I might have said this in the last time we talked at St. Julian in Boulder, and the economic impact of what that program has done, and it really comes back to Deion Sanders, has been enormous for that community. Like I think there's some, the underlines there are really, really powerful that lean towards him. So if I'm, you know, in Colorado, if I'm in Boulder, if I'm in that area, I'm excited about what he has brought to the table. And I know it's unconventional, but there, you know what, it's the rules that he gets to play with, and he's using them to the best of his ability. I sit back from a distance with admiration for what Deion Sanders does.
All right. So
now, and I think Greg, if the $20 or $25 million that was pumped into the economy, they'll take four wins every year if that's what they get.
Right. Exactly. But you know that also breeds, you know, money coming into the economy and everything else breeds more people to want to come there and brings more money into the program.
Well, and you know, Coach just hit on something that's huge, just the economic impact, but also, you know, the number of just regular students that want to go to University of Colorado now, you know, that helps the school.
Sure.
And you talk about, you know, I honestly think, you know, Tad Boyle, and not to go down a basketball road, but, you know, Tad Boyle with the basketball team has done extremely well, but he was able to sign one of the one of the only five-star picks going back to when I played back in the early 2000s. They signed a five-star, David Harrison, but they've got a guy that's a five-star. He's like the second or third pick, and don't think that Deion didn't have something to do with that, that, you know, he puts Colorado on the map, and now all of a sudden that gives Tad and some of these other coaches the ability to go recruit some better athletes too.
Sure, absolutely. Well, let's change gears here a little bit. Let's talk, you know, the big upcoming game that is going to happen here in a couple weeks. I know, Coach Bouchard, you're a huge Kansas City fan. Who are you pulling for,
yep,
Coach B?
Well, you know, I'm kind of torn. Like I said, I've known Kyle Shanahan for a long time. I wouldn't mind seeing him be successful, but it's awful hard to go against Patrick Mahomes. I mean, that guy is special. He's got some weapons. You know, the receivers are starting to play well. So I'm going to have to go with the Chiefs, but I think it's going to be a really good game.
All right, Coach Bouchard, what do you think? Do you think Kelce and Mahomes, best tight end quarterback duo ever?
Oh, aren't they extraordinary? Like Gronkowski and Brady. I mean, there's some pretty good duos out there that were, but yeah, they're a pretty special tandem. And I think you're going to see Taylor Swift on
She'll
TV the other day. I know it's going to blow people's mind, but she, you know what? I absolutely love the fact that's kind of playing out. And I know there's purist football fans that get upset over it. I'm like, why would you get upset over somebody who's probably brought a million plus new viewers to the NFL?
Absolutely.
Like, I think it's pretty awesome. And, anyway, I sent something out the other day that I saw where it was like, you know, when you're in high school and somebody, what you were kind of doing, if you had got on a plane and you had to travel here and this is when you left and this is how many hours. And if you traveled back and, you know, when you're in high school, you said something like, when is this ever going to be relevant? And then now as an adult, you're like, all right, now Taylor Swift will be in Tokyo and she has to fly here and she has this much time. So anyway, I evidently used some of those math skills back in the day. So I think I'm a big Chiefs fan. I'm surprised they're a 2-point underdog. I think that's some action. I don't bet. Actually, I bet diet sodas. But at the end of the day, I got to think somebody's, you know, putting Patrick Mahomes as an underdog, I think, is hugely motivating for that guy.
Oh, absolutely.
But I also know, man, that team out by the bay has some pretty dang dynamic playmakers, and they just have some really nice weapons that they can utilize at their disposal. And I think the quarterback story of Brock Purdy is just
amazing.
An awesome story. He really now my buddy who did our lockers at MICDS, he says the whole connection is that he did lockers at Iowa State that Brock Purdy's been, and he did training camp lockers at Missouri Western that Pat Mahomes uses. So he thinks it's kind of some of the work that he does that connects all that stuff. But
just,
he said, throw in decal lockers is the one. So anyway, he said, there's the connection. Anyway, I think it'll be a great game. It'll be fun to watch. And there's a lot of those side stories that are, I think if Kelce gets off, the Niners or the team out over in San Francisco is going to have a hard time. They're just going to have a hard time if Kelce has the kind of game like he had against the Ravens.
Absolutely. Hey, gentlemen, I could do one last bit of business. Hang with me a few more minutes.
Yep.
All right. Fantastic. Folks, we're talking with Coach Fred Bouchard from MICDS and also Coach Jason Berniak from Missouri Baptist University. This is KMOX is at your service. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. 9:54 is your time here in the heart of Mid-America. Coming at you from KMOX. This is KMOX's At Your Service. We are in the scant few minutes of our show here, and we're talking a little football. Coach Fred Bouchard, who's the head football coach at MICDS, and Coach Jason Berniak from Missouri Baptist University, where he is the head football coach. Gentlemen, again, I can't thank you enough for hanging out with us. The time just goes by so fast, so I just have probably one more question for you before we have to get out of here. And this was texted in, and he says that personal foul penalties really hurt the Baltimore team against the Kansas City team. What do coaches say to players after they commit such infractions, and how do you make them resist losing their cool? And we'll start with Coach Bouchard on this one.
You know what? I think you really have to be preemptive on that, and you have to talk a lot to guys about just how, without sounding too judgmental, but with just how selfish that is. You know, Zay Flowers makes an incredible play. They don't cover it very well. Snead ends up making the tackle, and then he's dropping the ball on him and doing a flex over him. And he earned that 15-yard penalty, and you're like, why are you doing that?
Right, exactly.
And I'm sure off the field, and you saw Mark Jackson put his arm around him. I'm like, sure, he was like, man, we got to be better than that in that moment. Like, you wonder, golly, what are? I know you're competing at the high level. I know that's, you know, that's an alpha dog world. Like, everybody's sure. trying to be one up on the next. But I just don't see where that ever promotes moving forward with your football team and helping your football team win a really important game. And then, you know what, well, the Coach, funny part was Coach,
I'm actually going to I'm going to have to cut you off here real quick because we only got just a few seconds left.
Yeah, Coach, I'll let Coach Birdie answer that.
Coach Jason, you got about 10 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, Coach hit on it. It's just about poise. I know one thing that we do is we practice it. I mean, if a guy's doing that in practice, we emphasize it. He might run. We take him out of the game. But, you know, we've got to practice poise, and we've got to practice, making those big plays and moving on to the next one because you can't hurt your team.
Right, exactly. Well, gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us on the program. I got to get out of here. But thanks a lot. We're going to talk real soon, okay?
Thanks, Greg. Thanks for having us.
Yes, sir. Yeah. This is KMOX is at your service. Thanks for listening. Be nice to each other. Welcome back, everyone. 9:54 is your time here in the heart of Mid-America. Coming at you from KMOX. This is KMOX is at your service. We are in the scant few minutes of our show here, and we're talking a little football. Coach Fred Bouchard, who's the head football coach at MICDS, and Coach Jason Berniak from Missouri Baptist University, where he is the head football coach. Gentlemen, again, I can't thank you enough for hanging out with us. The time just goes by so fast, so I just have probably one more question for you before we have to get out of here. And this was texted in, and he says that personal foul penalties really hurt the Baltimore team against the Kansas City team. What do coaches say to players after they commit such infractions, and how do you make them resist losing their cool? And we'll start with Coach Bouchard on this one.
You know what? I think you really have to be preemptive on that, and you have to talk a lot to guys about just how, without sounding too judgmental, but with just how selfish that is. You know, Zay Flowers makes an incredible play. They don't cover it very well. Snead ends up making the tackle, and then he's dropping the ball on him and doing a flex over him. And he earned that 15-yard penalty, and you're like, why are you doing that?
Right, exactly.
I'm sure off the field, and you saw Mark Jackson put his arm around him. I'm like, sure, he was like, man, we got to be better than that in that moment. Like, you wonder, golly, what are? I know you're competing at the high level. I know that's an alpha dog world. Like, everybody's sure. trying to be one up on the next. But I just don't see where that ever promotes moving forward with your football team and helping your football team win a really important game. And then, you know what,
well,
the
Coach,
funny part was
Coach, I'm
actually
to,
the
I'm,
karma.
I'm going to have to cut you off here real quick because we only got just a few seconds left.
Yeah, Coach, I'll let Coach Birdie answer that.
Coach Jason, you got about 10 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, Coach hit on it. It's just about poise. I know one thing that we do is we practice it. I mean, if a guy's doing that in practice, we emphasize it. He might run. We take him out of the game. But, you know, we've got to practice poise, and we've got to practice, making those big plays and moving on to the next one because you can't hurt your team.
Right, exactly. Well, gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us on the program. I got to get out of here. But thanks a lot. We're going to talk real soon, okay?
Thanks, Greg. Thanks for having us.
Yes, sir. Yeah. This is KMOX is at your service. Thanks for listening. Be nice to each other.